Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin on the Leslie Marshall Network.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levin reporting live from Nashville, Tennessee. Now, of course, normally I report live from Washington, but today I'm in my hometown where I was born, where I grew up, in the South, in Nashville, Tennessee. It's all in my new book, Bagels, Grits, and Quiche, Confessions of a Gay Jewish Southerner. Okay, I really haven't written the book. That's more like an April Fool's joke, but it's one day I will. One day, I will write my autobiography, Bagels, Grits, and Quiche. Anyway, I'm reporting live to you from Nashville, Tennessee, because, well, that is my hometown, and I'm here with my parents, and we are having a Passover Seder tonight. 34 people. We've got family members, cousins, friends. We always have a big Seder in my home in Nashville, and actually, I've been leading the Seder ever since my grandfather died, which is almost 30 years now, ever since I was, I guess, in college. No, you know what? Even earlier. In any case, I am the designated Seder giver, and I want to talk this hour about Passover, about Good Friday, which of course is today, about Easter, and about the larger question of what it means to be a liberal and to practice a religion. I do want to wish a happy Good Friday, if that's the right words. I'm not even sure if that is the right words. Mark Grimaldi, you're Catholic. Can you wish someone a happy Good Friday?
Or you just say Good Friday.
What do you
like
say?
Good Friday to you. Good Friday. Some people say happy Good Friday.
And maybe you can help me with this. I mean, I know Good Friday is the anniversary of Jesus' crucifixion, so it's clearly not a happy day. Easter, obviously, is a happy day. That's the anniversary celebrated of Jesus' resurrection. But Good Friday, I assume a day. Is that right, Mark?
You just cut out right there. You assume it's a what?
A fairly somber day, Good Friday?
You know, not so much. I mean, it is in a way, but I think because people know Easter is coming, it's almost like, you know, it's because that's closer, it's not necessarily somber. I think also,
okay,
to be honest, for people observing Lent, for personal reasons, I think some people are excited because, you know, whatever they've given up for Lent, you know, will be able to then do that thing at the end of Easter for the 40
right.
days of Lent. So,
so it's almost over. So a Good Friday then to all the Catholics out there. And I believe Protestants recognize Good Friday as well. Again, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe, Andrew, you're Protestant, right? Does your family recognize Good Friday? He's probably working the boards, and
we do not practice.
Not they don't practice, but I wasn't sure. It always seemed to me that Catholics, the Christians all celebrate Easter, but Catholics focus more on Good Friday. And one of the things I want to talk about, and I want to encourage people to call in, is what does it mean to be a liberal and to be religious? I, for one, have never believe there to be a contradiction between the two. But it seems to me that there are a number of liberals who, because of the oppression of some very strong religious groups, have veered away from religion, have considered religion to be a bad thing. I think religion, like most philosophies, has a good side and a bad side. And that anytime you try to impose a religion on someone else, we talked about that all this week with the Indiana bill and now the Arkansas bill, when you use religion as a sword, it's a very dangerous, oppressive, evil force. You know, check out ISIS if you want to see religion being used as a sword, or the Taliban for that measure. Or you know, in Christian history, there's always the Crusades and the Inquisition, so it's not just a Muslim thing. But religion as a shield, religion used by people who need hope in times of despair, by people who are trying to figure out the way the world works and trying to do so, you know, to teach compassion to their fellow man. After all, the Bible has some beautifully compassionate things in it. Am I my brother's keeper? Comes from the Bible, and of course the Bible answers emphatically yes. The Bible also talks about protecting the widow and the orphan, about caring for the poor, about looking out for one's fellow man. I don't take the entire Bible literally, and in fact, I don't take most of it literally, but I do think it is a compendium of thousands of years of wisdom, and there's a lot of wisdom in the Bible. Like any good liberal, I view any document with some skepticism, and there are parts of the Bible I find beautiful and moving, and there are other parts that I find, frankly, quite disturbing. And I think that's how a liberal should approach the Bible, not as some perfect document, but as a very fascinating, interesting, one of the most interesting historical books of all time, and mostly because it's not just one book. It's, I believe, a compendium of many different writers, and the reason it's withstood the ages is because there's a lot of wisdom in it. But I don't see a contradiction between being religious and being a liberal. Like I said, I've proudly led my Seder in my family's home in Nashville, Tennessee for closer to 30 years now. And the Seder, for those of you who don't know, it's a celebration of freedom. It's the commemoration of a 4,000-year, well, maybe 3,500, give or take, year anniversary of the Jewish exodus from Egypt. Anyone who knows their Bible or knows some basic human history knows that the Jewish people, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And the tradition, the Jewish tradition, teaches that God came to Moses and told him to tell the Pharaoh, the Egyptian Pharaoh, let my people go. And lo and behold, we all know the story of the Red Sea splitting, the 10 plagues. If you don't know it, it's been a lot of Hollywood movies. But this is a very important story, and I would argue it's not just an important story for the Jewish people. I think it's an important story for all of humanity. You know, religions in ancient times talked about God or gods as appealing to the most powerful. The Pharaoh, indeed, of Egypt was considered a god in Egypt. He was the divine representation on earth. One of the reasons why you had to obey the king or the dictator is, well, the king, the Pharaoh, whomever it was in charge, they stood at the right side of God. They were, in effect, God himself. That's why you never challenged authority. The Jewish God was kind of a rebel, and that's why I guess it appeals to a liberal. The Jewish God may have been the first God or first religious figure in all of human history to appeal to the lowest, to appeal to the slave. Think about in any hierarchy, how low down is the slave? Right? It's the lowest of the low. A slave can be ordered to do whatever you want. And in Egypt, you could kill a slave if you wanted to. It was your property. It was the lowest of the low. But Judaism recognized 3,500 years ago that slaves were human beings, that they had rights, and they even had the right to freedom. Now, I want you to think about that, because it wasn't until, well, the 1860s that America came around to that view, some 3,000-plus years later. But already the Jewish religion was teaching, let my people go. And you, of course, know that in the Civil Rights era, and actually in the time of slavery, blacks, African Americans, used the inspiration from the Bible, the inspiration from the Exodus story, to basically say that slavery was wrong, to not accept their place in life, to not accept slavery. Lots of people who are oppressed accept their caste. You can look in cases of India, where the untouchables would often say, well, we're born into the lowest caste, we have to live in the lowest caste. But the Bible teaches that slaves matter, that people matter, that the lowest can rise up, that the meek can inherit the earth. These are some powerful liberal concepts. So I call to all you liberals out there, do not forsake religion. Do not give up on the Bible. If you want to criticize evangelicals or religious intolerance, I'm right there with you. I'll criticize them together. I'll march with you. Obviously, religion can be a sword and a matter of oppression. But please, I would argue, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, let me be very clear. If you don't believe in God, if you're an atheist, I absolutely respect that too. This is America. You have the right to practice any religion you want or to practice no religion. I firmly defend that right. But I would argue, even to you atheists out there, that the Passover Seder, the whole story of the Exodus, has power, has meaning. Even if you don't believe in God, even if you don't believe in some divine control of the universe, the idea that a lowly people, that slaves, have a right to be free, that the poorest of the poor and the weakest of the weak have a place in this earth, have certain rights that have to be protected, these are liberal principles you don't even have to believe in God for. So I'm curious, and I really want you to call and let me know what you think is or isn't the connection between religious faith, and liberalism. I got to tell you something. Conservatives try to corner the market on religion, and I don't think we should let them do it. I think it's offensive when people say that Christians believe in homophobia, or Christians believe that a woman should have a secondary place in the home, or that Christian, that's offensive to Christianity. I don't see those things in Christianity at all. I never heard Jesus, and I've read the New Testament. There's nothing that Jesus says that's anti-gay that I can see. Jesus hung out with lepers. Jesus hung out with prostitutes. Jesus hung out with the weakest of the weak. And to me, Jesus did a lot of the same things that, Moses did. He hung out with the people who were least in charge and told them that they had a place in the world to come. So I think it's actually offensive and an attack on Christianity to pretend that all Christians believe in some of the most severe intolerance, just as I think it's an attack on Muslims to suggest that all Muslims believe in the most intolerant brand of Islam, or that all Jews believe in the most intolerant brand of Judaism. There is a strong liberal religious tradition, and let's, on this day, on Good Friday, on the first day of Passover, let's celebrate religious liberalism. But I do want to know what you think. Call in, let me know. 888-653-7543. We'll be right back right after this. Everyone, and a happy Passover to you. And if you're a good liberal like myself, I want to encourage you not to run away from religion, from religious faith. Now, this may seem strange coming from a gay Southern Jewish American, but I don't find a contradiction at all. And I say this as someone who knows plenty, particularly of gay and lesbian people, bisexual, transgender people, who've been absolutely mistreated by people of religious faith. I got to tell you, and although things are getting better, and they are, I know many people, particularly from Southern evangelical families, who were basically kicked out of their homes when they told their parents that they were gay. But just because religion has often been used for oppression, and I, you know, we can look back for thousands of years and know that's true. We can look back, yesterday to ISIS or Syria or Al-Qaeda to know that religion can be used and is used oppressively. I think sometimes some liberals speak of religion derisively. I think they throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Some liberals basically mock religion. And you know what? I get that too. I mean, you have a right to mock things. I certainly support the right of Charlie Hebdo to mock whatever it wants. It's not something I would do, though. While I support your right to do it, I think that if someone's religious faith gives them some kind of consolation, makes their life a little bit easier, helps them get through the day, then I don't care, I've said, if you believe in the flying spaghetti monster. If that is something that helps you live your life, if that is something that makes you more charitable to your fellow man or woman, more likely to look out for the poor, more likely to love your neighbor as yourself, then it doesn't matter to me how you put together your religious faith. I think it's a good thing. Now, to the extent that your religion is used to harm others, used to oppress others, used to force people who are not of your religious faith to accept your religious faith, obviously I'm against it. And to me, that's the ultimate liberal balancing test. All this week, we've been talking about Indiana. We've been talking about Arkansas. I've been telling you how I believe religion absolutely should be protected as a shield, but never used as a sword. And you may know that today, yesterday, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson signed the Arkansas religious bill, and the Indiana Governor Pence signed his. Now, they both say they revised the bills, and they both seem to think that's going to satisfy all the critics. I got to tell you, as someone who's looked at the revisions, I don't think they go far enough, particularly in Arkansas. In Indiana, what they basically, neither state, I should be very clear, both both states believe you have every right to deny services to someone just because they're gay, just because they're lesbian. You have every right to fire all your gay and lesbian employees. Now, that's not true in California. That's not true in the several dozen states that have protections for sexual orientation. But Arkansas and Indiana don't. We don't have it at the federal level. And basically what they said is, all right, we won't give protections to gay people, but we won't let them use this bill to discriminate. So I won't give them three cheers. I might give them one. I do think the battle is not yet over. But what does it mean to be religious and a liberal? Are these two ideas in contradiction? That's my question for you. 888-653-7543. Let's go to Fred in Michigan on line five. Hey, Fred, how are you?
I'm great. I would have to say you can't be, because the when we talk about religion is very, very rigid, you know, and just liberal by definition means broad, you know. There's we accept everybody, we tolerate everybody. We
I think it depends on your religion.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, but Fred, okay? Some religions are rigid. Absolutely, that's true. But are all religions rigid? Can't you have a liberal religion? I mean, Unitarian.
Restaurants denying people certain things. Well, you know what? My wife's favorite food is Middle Eastern. I don't want her to have to put on a head dressing to go in there to, you know, have her favorite meal of hummus and tabbouleh. I don't want to have to do that, but we're getting that way by passing this type of legislation.
Well, no. I want to be very clear. No, I do not support this legislation. If you've listened to me,
no, I get it. I get it.
You know, I don't. But my point is that what a liberal should be against is religious inflexibility, but not religion per se. You and I can agree to be against any kind of rigidness in religion, particularly as it applies to non-believers. I've said many times, religion should be a shield, not a sword. But what I don't want liberals to do is to throw away the idea of religion, to believe that there's nothing they can learn from the Bible, to believe that there's no philosophy that has any meaning for them, because I think there's a lot of beauty in it. As long as we work together to fight intolerance and rigidity, can we also work together to say there is some beauty in the Bible, and to recognize it and to celebrate it?
Well, and the funny thing is, if you really read the Bible,
I've read the Bible.
Pick and choose. No, not you. I'm talking people in general. If they don't just pick and choose their verses and their pet sins,
but what's
you know, Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well. He hung out with beggars, thieves, and publicans. Every one of his disciples had a worldly issue that needed to be overcome. And you know, I'm sorry, but the majority of evangelicals these days cannot accept other people for their differences. You don't have to go along with them; just tolerate them.
See, Fred,
if you want
agree with what you're
to
saying,
be like
but
you,
I'd actually go
give
one
them
further.
An example that they can follow. Not being self-righteous and condescending.
Yeah, Fred, I agree with you. I would go one step further. I would not let evangelicals claim the mantra of Christianity, certainly not alone. There are plenty of liberal Christians out there.
Right.
I've got a very good friend whose wife is a minister. You can't even say those words to evangelicals because they don't understand. A woman is a minister. She's a minister of a very liberal church that very strongly believes in Christianity, but believes in it the way Jesus practiced it. I want to reclaim religion. I don't want liberals to run away from it. I want them to reclaim it. I want them to make it more moderate. And I say that, by the way, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or Jewish. I hope that Muslims reclaim their religion and make it more liberal and make it more tolerant, as well as Christians. This is Mark Levine, 888-653-7543. Right back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. If you want to call in, it's 888-653-7543. A good Friday to everyone. A happy Passover. If you hear my voice, it's a little muffled. It's because I'm calling in myself. I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee. That's my hometown. That's the town where I was born, the town where I grew up. Usually, of course, I broadcast out of the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., but I'm home, or at least my original home, with my family because tonight is the first night on Passover. And tonight I will lead 34 of my family and friends and relatives, including, by the way, some non-Jews who are attending. We usually have visitors, and this year there's no exception. We have some visitors. You don't have to be Jewish to go to a Seder, because what does a Seder do? A Seder is a where you tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. A Seder, by the way, is a Hebrew word that means order, because there's a specific order. The story has been told this way for literally thousands of years. In fact, it may be the oldest home religious observance in human history. I'm not sure about that, but it may be. It certainly ranks up there as one of them, and one of the oldest repeated stories that were told. Indeed, it's believed by historians that the Exodus story was told long before it was written down. When you think about it, even the Orthodox Jews who teach that the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, that was after the Exodus from Egypt, after the people had wandered around for several years telling the story. And if you believe, like I do, that the Bible is a compendium of stories that have been told orally for many generations until they were written down, if you don't believe that God wrote every word, which I don't, but you still recognize this was a powerful, powerful event, that whatever happened, whether or not you believe God split the Red Sea and brought 10 plagues on Egypt, whether you or not you believe that historically happened, something happened 3,500 years ago that convinced this really tiny, weak group of people that were once slaves in Egypt to cross the Sinai, to go into the new land of Israel, to build a new country, and they were so inspired by what they believed their God had done that this story has been told every single year for thousands of years, and I think it's a great story to be told today, even if you don't believe in God, because it celebrates the rising up and protecting of the weakest among us and recognizing that every human being, even slaves, have human dignity. So let's not put an artificial separation between religion and liberalism. They can coexist. They should coexist. And I would argue that Jesus was, if not a liberal, even a radical socialist. My God, he threw the money changers out of the temple. He said it was easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. He hung out with the lowest of the low, with lepers, with prostitutes. I just don't think he supported a capital gains tax cut. And so it's striking to me that people say, oh, well, Christians, they're all conservative. Why? Why? If you are truly a Christian, if you truly believe that God looks out for the little guy, why wouldn't you be a liberal? Why wouldn't that be something that you care the most about? Again, call in 888-653-7543. Some of you had called in and dropped off. Hang on, I'll get to you. Call on back, Stephen from New Mexico. I'd love to chat with you. I've also been reading the tweets. Many of you have tweeted in. And we asked the question whether there's a conflict between liberalism and religious observance. And a guy that writes in as Man Bear Pig, not even to go there as to what that means, said that there is a contradiction. This person says, liberalism seeks to protect and promote individually exclusive behaviors that religions condemn. I disagree, because I think liberals have a tendency, and that includes you, Man Bear Pig, that have a tendency to lump all religions together. They speak of religion, capital R, as if Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and more importantly, the Reform and Orthodox traditions of Judaism, the liberal and evangelical traditions of Christianity, the liberal and reformist versus the extremist versions of Islam, as if they were all one and the same. But they're not. The vast majority of religions have tremendous diversity, not only among them, but intra-religious diversity. Two Christians don't agree on what Christianity means. Two Jews are said to have had three or four opinions. We don't all have to agree. Do not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Today, on Good Friday, on the first day of Passover, I ask liberals to look again. I'm not saying accept every word in the Bible. Of course not. There's some awful stuff there. But at the same time, don't think that there's no beauty in these thousands of years old traditions, many of which protect the liberal principles that you and I agree with. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco on line five. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Happy Passover and a good Friday to you.
Yeah, same to you. Listen, I'm Catholic, and basically I'm also a Democrat. I call myself a John F. Kennedy Democrat. And if you look at the Republican budget that wants to cut Medicare, turn into a voucher system, cut Medicaid, steal safety net programs so that they can give the rich a tax break, basically take away health care from the poor and the middle class, you know, that is a budget from hell or Satan. That's what that's about.
Well, and that's another reason why we liberals shouldn't give up on the concept of religion, because I think we have every right to complain about conservative principles that don't look out for the poor, that don't look out for the least among us, and I think we have every right to call those anti-Christian. You know, conservatives like to ask, what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do? I think Jesus would take care of the poor. I'm glad to hear you're a Catholic, I'm a big fan of the new Pope, Pope Francis, and he talks more about the poor and poverty than any Pope in my lifetime. This is a guy who really understands, I think, what religion is about, what Jesus taught, and I think he would condemn a budget like the Republicans have passed.
I agree, and I also agree that the Pope is a great spokesman for what is right for our country as far as being fair and treating people,
with dignity.
And equal, and take care of the sick, help the poor.
Taking care of the sick.
He talks about is basically everything that the progressive movement is all about.
Exactly. Taking care of the sick, that's another example. The vast majority of industrialized countries have national health care. Everyone is taken care of. Only in America, the richest country on earth, do some people who claim to be Christian say, you know what, sick people, it's not our responsibility to take care of the sick child. I can't imagine any person of true religious faith say it is not the responsibility of all of us to take care of a sick child. You know, even Charles Dickens, who's not a famously religious person, in A Christmas Carol, what's it about? It's about Ebenezer Scrooge, who's too busy counting his gold pieces to note that Tiny Tim needs an operation to get off crutches. You know, and it's very clear whose side he's on there. I don't understand how conservatives can look the other way and then call themselves religious people.
No,
thanks for your call,
right,
Mark.
And we shouldn't let them get away with it. And here's the other
You're
thing.
Right. The
other
Real quick, because I
want
to get a conservative
is that,
on the line.
You know,
I
they're
with
also
it.
All
Go
for
ahead.
War. They're for killing. And,
well,
for,
yeah.
You know, if you look at what's going on right now with our president trying to get a peaceful resolution to Iran, they're already screaming they want war. They want us. The only answer they come up with, if we don't make any deal at all, is they're ready to go bomb Iran and start World War III and kill more people, which they're administrations have done over the years under George Bush, killed thousands of Americans and Iraqis for wars on lies and profit.
No question, religion's about turning the other cheek. As far as the Iran deal, I'm still agnostic about it, to use a religious term, because I need to see all the details. I do think there comes a point, and I don't think we've reached that point, but I do think there comes a point when you do have to be careful and you do have to fight back against evil. But certainly, if we can avoid war, it is always the preferable thing to do. I want to thank you for your call, Mark. I want to move to Frank from California on line two, because he's a conservative Republican, and I can't wait to hear what his views are on what I see as no contradiction between being religious and being a liberal. Go ahead, Frank.
My views on religion, yeah, I'm religious. I just don't believe the Bible works.
You just don't
believe
and in the Bible?
I know gay people. I know gay couples. And I've been married myself four times. So if anybody's ruined the sanctity of marriage, it's probably me.
Probably so, Frank.
I've always said that if a God hates gay people, then it's not my God. I believe the Bible was written by men, and God sits up there and looks down and goes, I didn't say that. Yeah, on many, in many religions.
I tell you, Frank, you don't sound as conservative as I thought you were. I also believe the Bible is written by men and women. But I'll tell you this. I do think that just because it was written by men, that doesn't mean there aren't some eternal truths. I think that any work of art or literature or philosophy that has lasted 3,000 years, 4,000 years, probably did so for a reason, probably because there are some truths in it. And one of the truths in the Bible that I read about is taking care of the poor, taking care of the sick, of looking out for your fellow man. And you say you're a Republican. Do you think your party does that?
You know, I don't know. I've never met a conservative. I don't even believe I heard me on TV say, we don't care about the poor. We don't care about the sick. Nobody believes that. You know, where you draw a circle on the line is like in the state of California, they're going to spend $100,000 to give surgery to some prisoner for gender reassignment or all the other ridiculous things we spend money on just to have government employee union jobs, and that money gets turned back over to politicians in the form of bribes. That's where conservatives draw the line. I've never in my life heard any conservative person say, I don't care about the sick.
Well, here's the thing, Frank. And by the way, I agree with you on bribes, and I want to take money out of politics, and that's another place that we can come together. But I remember when the S-CHIP program, that's the state health insurance program for children, was up to be repassed. And that was one of the first things in Obama's administration. And Republicans were against it. And they were saying, you know, children's health care, parents should provide for children's health care. And we were saying, well, sure they should if they can afford it. But if an 8-year-old gets cancer, you know how expensive those leukemia treatments are? That's enough to drive a family into bankruptcy. And it's not an 8-year-old's fault they have cancer. And I just never understood where the compassion from people who call themselves Christian, why don't they have compassion for a sick child? I mean, these are some basic
things. That's a whole other twist you're putting on it. See, I provide health insurance for my kid, right? So I don't want the government controlling my health insurance for my kid.
What if you couldn't afford it? Wouldn't you want the government there? Frank, what if your child had a disease that you couldn't afford to pay to do something about? Then wouldn't you want your fellow taxpayers, your fellow mankind, to come in and help save the life of your child?
You know, if it's a sick kid, if it's a single mother,
right?
Can't afford health insurance, then there's got to be something there for her and that kid.
Okay, so we agree on that.
I don't know. I would struggle to find a conservative person that doesn't agree with that.
They say they do, but when it comes to the programs, it comes to the votes, they're constantly voting to cut aid to people who are sick. And again, on this religious day, on this Good Friday, on this first day of Passover, I don't understand how they can do that with compassion. I understand how they can do that with green eye shades. I can understand how they can say, well, it costs more to cure a sick child. It does cost more. I admit that. So I understand people who don't want to spend money. I don't understand people, though, who claim to be compassionate, caring about their fellow human being. And in the richest country on earth, we can't provide what 34 other nations provide, none of which are as rich as we are.
Yeah, your analogy is kind of like saying President Obama hates everybody in Israel. That's why he made his deal with Iran, because he wants Israel.
I don't see the sequitur.
Obama never said that. There's no proof of it, but I'm saying that.
No, I'm not saying, Frank, I'm not saying you hate children. I'm not saying you don't want to give them. You and I, in fact, agree on this. But what I'm saying is that Republican budget after budget, they're always, I mean, do you support national health care? Which I do. Do you?
No, absolutely not.
So you're saying that in the richest country on earth, some people won't get health care merely because they're poor. That's your view.
What I'm saying is the very first thing Hitler did was national health care because it's a form of control.
That was not the first. Where do you get these things? That was not the first thing that Hitler did.
It was one of the first things he did.
No.
One of the benefits to Hitler.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like saying Hitler made the trains run on time. So since Hitler was bad, we do not want any on-time trains. On-time trains are bad because Hitler did them. Well, I actually think on-time trains are good, even if Hitler made the trains run on time. I really think that's a bad argument, don't you, Frank? Shouldn't the argument be made that national health care is wrong for some reason rather than say Hitler did it? By the way, I don't think Hitler did do it. I think that's not true.
It's a control over the people. It's you know, it's what a better way to control people than to control their health care.
Yeah, well, Hitler's health care was taking disabled people, putting them in vans and gassing them. So I don't think that's our national health care program.
He had national health care. Hopefully, history book.
I don't believe that's true, but I don't want to get too far off the topic, and I do appreciate your call. I want to know from all of you out there, do you think there's a contradiction between liberalism and religious observance? I argue there's not. I think a good liberal recognizes that there's a lot of beauty in religion. Yeah, there's some terrible stuff in religion, too, but please don't speak of religion with a capital R. Religion is as varied and diverse as the American people are, and there's religions who have beautiful observances. Heck, I'm going to lead our Passover Seder tonight. There are other religions who have practices I abhor, but I would ask you not to throw it all out. I do think there's wisdom of the ages there, even if you're an atheist. This is Mark Levine. Call and let me know what you think. 888-653-7543. Back after this. Inside Scoop, got a few minutes left. I want to wish everyone a good Friday and a happy Passover, and I want to call out to my fellow liberals, don't throw away all of religion. Religion can be and has been used for some awful things. Religion can be intolerant. Religious observance, when forced by the state, is persecution. But religion as a voluntary observance, recognizing the beauty of philosophies that have existed for thousands of years, recognizing, as I'm about to in a few hours, the celebration of freedom that is the freedom of the Jews from slavery in Egypt 3,500 years ago, these are liberal principles that I think we should all celebrate. Mike from New Mexico, do you agree?
Yes and no. I agree with what you're saying, that that's the way it should be. But I also see the point on how conservatives feel on the key points they take the Bible. One of your earlier callers said that if you take certain key points, but if you read the Bible as a whole, if you're Christian, which I'm not, I don't really believe in any deities. But if you read the Bible, you can understand that Christians believe that Jesus and God is the same person. He's
right.
One or he's three or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But God of the Old Testament was an angry, jealous God. It says God of the Old Testament says that this person should die for this reason, you kill this person for that reason, and if Jesus and God are the same person, then Jesus is the God of the Old Testament, so he was okay with it.
You know, I guess, Mike, I think that's a bit reductionist. I know people say that, and I know they can point to specific passages, but God certainly preaches love and talks about looking out for the poor and the widow and the orphan, and he freed the slaves, if you're to believe Exodus. So, you know, I think it's a bit reductionist to you know, say all these things about God in that way. I got to end the conversation because I got two more calls and very little time left. Brandon in Virginia, line 5, go ahead.
Hey, so this is my first time listening to your show, but it's a good discussion, and I consider myself a libertarian Christian, and so I guess it's not necessarily the belief that conservative Christians don't believe in taking care of the poor. I think it's just they believe in a different avenue of using the government.
Fair, Brandon, but I should point out that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, whether you look at the Jubilee year or the Jewish law or you look at what Jesus did, they believed in the government specifically or the society or the community taking care of those that are less fortunate.
Right.
Brandon, call back on Monday and we can argue further. I got 1 minute left and I want to get real quick to Merrill from New Mexico, line 2. Go ahead, Merrill.
Hey, Mark. Good to be on.
Hello. You got 30 seconds. Tell me what you think.
I think that it shouldn't be separated. I think liberals should embrace religion, but I think that it's a very, very personal thing. You know, it should be an issue. But it's a thing, and it's something that everybody should embrace.
It, well, Merrill, I agree with you, and let me just conclude by saying that that of course it's a personal observance. What makes religion great in America, as distinct from religion all over the world, is in America it is a choice. You can choose what religion to practice. You can choose what observance to do. That's what makes it freedom. That's what makes it wonderful. The minute that religion is imposed from above, it becomes oppressive. To all the callers I didn't get to finish chatting with, Brendan and the rest of you, call in on Monday. We can continue this conversation. Unfortunately, my show is only an hour long, so I have to say goodbye. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. My website's marklevinetalk.com. Good Friday and happy Passover to you all. See you Monday.